Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
If you haven't got problems, I feel bad for you, son. But if you want to talk about Japan for a bit, we're good with that. We can solve that problem.
That was going so well.
Yeah,
you've got to work on that. It needs to rhyme, mate. It needs to rhyme. What a slick intro there.
Oh dear.
You get the fun job every week. I have to do the same intro, which, to be fair, is my own decision. And you get to have a little bit of fun.
Well,
you're probably better suited in those roles.
Well, your little goodbye
your wacky
is
imagination.
Your little goodbye is like, well, that's all, ladies and gentlemen. It's been. I always say it's been real. It's been emotional. I always say. At the end of everything, that's my sign off. But you do have people do have, like, not vocal tics, but they have ways of getting out admin quite easily. I think it's a nice intro, it's a nice outro, it works. I've noticed you do it in your vlogs sometimes for the Patreon subscribers, of which I am still one. I'm still feathering glorious. Your nest,
glorious. Pete, you're almost here in Japan. I can't believe it. I haven't seen you in person in the flesh for a few months now. And in a few weeks, ladies and gentlemen, he will be catching a flight and flying over here to show his friend around. And hopefully along the way, we will be together and film something or do something.
Yay.
Although, admittedly, whenever we meet, it's usually work-related. We don't seem to have that much. I don't know if I'm phrasing that right. We don't seem to have that much fun because we're always doing something,
well,
filming or recording.
Well, I guess I sort of met you while you were in the middle of Abroad in Japan filming and stuff. Actually, I'm going to be there while you are doing a little project over the weekend, aren't you? So we might have a couple of days where we can do something, can't we? We can do something, sure.
Yeah, yeah. June this month is mental. I've got three or four documentary projects going on. One of them involves a big rock star, a big Japanese rock star who sold like 40 million Records. I don't think I can talk about it yet until it's underway. But that's taking place just as you arrive, so it's going to be a manic week.
It's
so I'm
going
to make an effort to see you.
He's hanging out with Smap.
Sit down. Sit down, have a few coolishes together somewhere.
Yeah.
It'll be glorious.
Fun. It's nice to be busy, though, isn't it? Except like you, if you're me and you're not a natural freelancer and you have a real problem compartmentalising jobs and you slowly lose your goddamn mind.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Mm. Like, I'm always so busy, but then when I take time off after a few weeks, I feel like, I wish I could get back to work now. So,
yeah.
I don't know what when you kind of do what I do, when you're kind of self-employed and you're the one that has to force yourself to get out of bed in the morning, it's kind of different. You see the world from a different perspective, but you kind of enjoy work, and the line between work and pleasure kind of blurs, and there is no line, and it all just blurs into one big thing, for better or worse. But it'll be fun. Looking forward to it. I've recently started. This is a craze that I seem to have missed out on. Big trend. There's a big show on Netflix, Japanese, called Terrace House, and I think you know what it is. I think you bloody binge watch it, don't you?
I've seen a couple of episodes. I do enjoy No Context Terrace House on Twitter, where they'll just have screen captures with subtitles of things that are happening in the Terrace House, and it's just I don't know what's going on, but there's the No Context Terrace House Twitter page. It's Terrace House Cap on Twitter. It's really very interesting. Well, like, it's just a man going,
how would you,
that was the most exciting moment for me in 2018, or just loads of people bowing going, we apologise. It's like, just, it's Big Brother, isn't it? It's like Big Brother in the UK or Europe or pretty much everywhere. It's Big Brother, but Japanese people are obviously a bit more polite, a lot less drunk, and certainly less topless.
So for those of you who don't know, Terrace House is six people in a house, three guys, three girls. They're all single, usually models, so they're all relatively good looking. And the aim is to get them dating one another and kind of spark some sort of romance. It is a lot like Big Brother, like Pete just said. But imagine Big Brother, but without the fun, or without the scandals. That being said, I hate Big Brother. I think I'd rather watch Terrace House. Some people are calling it the kind of anti-reality TV show, because you can watch it for hours and nothing really happens. Like one of the scandals was somebody cooked a piece of meat that wasn't theirs out the fridge once. And I think it just ended with them just, everyone just apologising to each other, typical Japanese fashion. But why I started watching it was I found it's quite good for learning Japanese or practicing Japanese. Like, I just sort of stick it on and I watch it and I listen in, and it's really good for listening and practicing your Japanese. So that's why I watch it, really.
Yeah.
It is pretty boring outside of that, but I don't know what the craze is. I don't see why it's this big thing at the moment. Everyone seems to love it.
Oh, I guess there's probably not that many shows like that in Japan, but also, I guess you're in a situation where if you're trying to sort of get people to get with each other in a romantic fashion, I guess you don't see a lot of that on television because people are very private.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that they're all living in this house and they just have to get on. I don't know how long they're in the house for, though. Is it weeks? Is it months?
I don't actually know, to be honest. No.
They're just there. Months, but it's a really nice bloody house. Like, it's the sort of house that you never actually see in Japan. It's a huge house. It's got swimming pools. It's got like five sitting rooms. It's glorious. It's wonderful. I have it on good authority from a friend of a friend who's actually, I think, been in the house, that it is kind of scripted. Like, the key people think that Terrace House isn't scripted at all, but it is loosely scripted, I think.
Most reality TV,
a bad thing.
Most reality TV is, to be fair, if you like Love Island or any of those shows,
it needs to be, doesn't it?
All of the conversations anyone has is a producer in the rear going, "Oh, I think this." Like, TV shows, one of the only reality sort of TV shows I really watch is Come Down With Me.
Oh yeah,
which is where they get five people to cook meals for each other, basically over the course of a week. It's really hard work. People start losing their minds. And people are just unerringly rude to one another. But all of the like little VTs where they're talking to camera about what they thought of the meal and, you know, the decor and the actual entertainment that evening, they're all clearly like kind of producers going, right, you say this. It's like blind date or any of those things. Like, everything's just prompted, the reading off prompters, and it's just, Yeah, and we just buy it. We just buy it hook, line, and sinker because it's cringy and weird. But we'll have it.
Yeah, effectively. I mean, I don't really do reality TV. I've never really got it. Mm. But would you ever go in Terrace House? Would you ever do something like this? Would you be one of the three single guys going in chat up and try and get it on with one of the girls?
Mate, it would be like people sort of slag it off, but you can make I could get a house out of that. I could get a house deposit out of that. And I ain't getting one with the normal jobs I do. I ain't getting one with this hustle, am I? So I'd happily just get... Well, I need a house. London, England. People in England are obsessed. They're such kind of like frustrated Tories that they all want a house. They can't rent until they die. They have to have their castle. So, yeah, I could get a house out of that. So I'd do any kind of Big Brother reality TV nonsense for upwards of £15,000.
You would go on Terrace House, Japan's most popular reality show, just for money.
Yeah, I'd shake it up. I'd shake
not for
it up
romance.
Yeah. I'd be a nightmare. I'd pretend to be more of a nightmare than I actually am.
Yes. Well, it'd just be you sitting there having Coolish ice cream the whole time, wouldn't it?
Who's eating all the Coolish?
In the corner alone.
Who's eating all the Coolish? Oh, I don't know. I don't know who's done that. Not me.
Well... While we are on the subject of money, we got two news stories this week that stood out to me. And the subject of trains, actually. Ooh. Train news. That's what we call this segment, train news. There's a train in Japan that some have called the world's most luxurious train. And it is ridiculous. It's called the Seven Stars Kyushu. I don't know if that's because it's seven stars, as in hotel quality seven stars. Yeah. Certainly, if you look at photos of it, it does look like seven stars. Some are calling it the most expensive train in the world. There are suites on it. They're $11,000 for, I think, 4 days. Think about that, $11,000 for 4 nights on a train. The usual suites cost about $5,400, typically. And if you look it up, it looks a bit like Bioshock on a train.
Yeah.
It's very nice art deco kind of interiors, these huge windows, fine dining, Michelin star dining. And it travels through the island of Kyushu for about 4 days, and you just sit on the train, you get off and have a look around hot springs and things, but it looks ridiculous. And a good friend of mine actually filmed it for I think Tokyo Creative did a video on it. And it looks bonkers. I actually saw it and I said to Ryotaro, can we go on it and film it? Can we get like some kind of deal where we go and film it for them?
Yeah.
And Ryotaro was like, no, because I think he said he tried. But the train was so popular that there's absolutely no availability. There's no chance we can get on it to film it. And I was gutted because I really want to get on it.
Oh, it looks fantastic, like, yeah.
It looks glorious. Would you ever do it?
Maybe the 2 days. I'll do the 2 days at two and a half. I think £5,000
might
be a bit too
much. Yeah, you've got to train 2 days, $2,500.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the reason it's so popular in Japan, people don't do that much travelling outside Japan. I think a lot of Japanese people see travelling overseas a lot of effort, and above all, they don't have that much time off. Mm. I mean, whenever Natsuki goes to the UK to do movies and documentaries with us, he only gets like 1 week off. So against that backdrop, people would rather just, you know, travel with inside Japan. So I'm not surprised that it's as sold out and as popular as it is. I might try it one day if I can get some sort of special deal where I don't have to pay a ridiculous sum of money for what is essentially just a train. But the rooms do look incredible. Do check it out, Seven Stars Kyushu. And if you are very rich or have a wonderful credit card, maybe check it out. Might be worth it.
I guess with stuff like that, if you've got such a waiting list, you don't necessarily need the publicity. If you've got a premium product, it's why they don't give away Rolexes. You know, if you're a premium product, they're like, eh. But if you're a diet, I don't know, what do the influencers do? Diet teas, lollipops, all that crap.
Yeah, that just reminded me of the time Kim Kardashian did those weight loss lollipops. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I mean, it just laxatives, just make you poop yourself. Life. I mean, like, you could do the same by licking the bottom of your shoe. Just get an illness that makes you puke yourself inside out. There you go. That's done.
Give me your own brand of lollipops.
Yeah, lick your shoe. Puke. Shoe lickers.
Puke shoe.
Pete Donaldson shoe lickers.
Lose weight with puke shoe lollipops. I'll put you off food in general.
I'll just chop up all my old shoes and people can just eat that and then they'll get ill and vomit and poop themselves because they'll have tummy bugs. And that's how my diet brand will begin. Pete's poop shoes.
And perhaps from these wonderful puke shoes, you can make enough money to go on the Seven Stars Kyushu World Most Luxurious Train.
Yeah, the Kyushu Puke Shoe. Wonderful.
That's the happy train news story, the less happy one.
That was the happy one. Oh, my God.
I saw an article about... it's common knowledge that sexual harassment on trains in Japan is very commonplace. Mm. I know so many people that have encountered it in Tokyo. Because the trains are so damn busy, it can happen. People will often touch you inappropriately, and you don't know who it is. Mm. You can't find out who it is because you can't turn around because the bloody train's so cramped you can't actually move and see who did it. But there's an article that came out I saw. It said, "Stop it. Japanese woman turned to app to stop groping on trains." For 2 decades now, I don't know if you know this, but you probably know this, Pete, but there's some train carriages in Japan that are women only.
Yeah.
And it's quite awkward because I remember one time, before I knew this, I was in Tokyo and I found myself queuing up for the train and I didn't look down at the ground and it just says, you know, Jose, it just sort of said women only train carriage. And I got on it and I was the only one, the only guy on this train carriage with like 50 women.
Uh-oh.
And I remember thinking, oh, this is good luck. This is great. Perfect. I love Japan. And then I looked around and then everyone was glaring at me and looking really pissed and angry. And I looked around and I don't know how I'd missed it because literally every single wall space on the train said women only. And I felt like such a dickhead. And I had to kind of sneak out the carriage while the train was moving. I kind of snuck down the carriage and opened the door and went off into another carriage. Mm. So be careful.
You have
you're
that
in Tokyo,
in,
not to go on the women only carriage.
You even have like spaces in like nightclubs and stuff. And I imagine it's kind of like a VIP kind of section, but you see it in quite a lot, especially in like slightly more meat markety kind of bars and clubs. They've got like a little section just for women to get away from the fucking nightmare men. And it's like, you know, when you sort of see, obviously, they're cancelling public drinking in Shibuya for Halloween 2019. And obviously,
come up. your favourite thing.
My favourite thing. Furious I am. But and they're also sort of talking about how foreigners are going to ruin the place with the old with the Olympics and the rugby and stuff like that. But in reality, it's like, you know, the more Japanese people get drunk in Shibuya of a weekend and you know, just fall about the place and stuff. You know, you've got to have little seats in clubs for women to have a bit of a women's embassy. You've got women-only carriages on the tube because, you know, certain men can't keep their hands to themselves. So I'd say look at your own little house before you start criticising tourists from China and America and Australia and stuff like that because it's, you know, you got problems yourselves, guys, all right? With the subjugation and the misogyny and the grabby grabs.
The grabby grabs. Mm. I mean, this there's an app basically called DigiPolice and it's been downloaded 237,000 times.
Yeah.
And this article talks about how this is unusually high for a public service app in Japan to get 200, like 250,000 downloads is crazy. Mm. And basically this app, if you're being harassed on a train, you press the button and it just shouts stop it at an ear-piercing volume. Or it kind of shouts, there's molester, please help, so other passengers can turn and help. In 2017 alone, there were 900 cases of groping that were reported. There's probably a lot more that happened. 900 cases that were reported on trains and subways in Tokyo alone.
Jeez.
So it's a really bad problem. And if you know, if you're a girl listening to this and you've experienced it, do if you feel comfortable, do share your story. Always interested to hear. But yeah, just be aware if you're a girl travelling in Japan, it can happen. And it has happened to a few of my girl mates travelling around Tokyo. So just be wary of that.
And shout. And
good
shout.
News is, offenders, do always call them out. If something happens, somebody touches you, whatever, it can be easy to let it go. But don't be afraid to call them out on it, because offenders who do it get up to 6 months in prison or fines of about 500,000 yen, half a million yen, or can end up in prison for many years as a result. So do call them out. Don't let these bastards get away with it.
Chikan. Shout chikan. That's what they always say. That's what I meant.
Oh, right, yeah.
Chikan. Pervert. So there we go.
Don't do that. Those people just get confused.
Why?
Due to the confusing pronunciation of P. Chikan.
Chicken. There's a chicken
just
in
shout,
here.
Just shout out dickhead or something. That's what I do. But can you imagine being on a platform? I've never seen it happen, actually. I've never seen it unfold, but it would be an interesting... Well, it would be a quite the sight to see a phone actually going off and somebody playing it really loudly.
Yeah.
It'd be quite interesting to see that happen.
Are you allowed to give the men an open-handed slap? Are you allowed to step in as a...
Pete's justice.
Slap. Give him a slap. Oh, dear.
There you go.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
To the fax machine.
To the fax machine.
To the questions, to the fax machine. Got one here from Emil from Luxembourg. Hi, Crispy. Ooh. Hi, Pete. Bungled that up, didn't I? Hi, Chris. Hi, Pete. Last summer, I did a 10-day exchange in Japan, specifically to Ishikawa Prefecture. It was my first time there, and getting to stay with a Japanese family was a unique experience I'll never forget. Although one misunderstanding I had in the first few days was when the hostess asked me if I wanted to take a bath, it sounded like, "Do you want to take a bus?" So I thought, sure, it's a bit late, but whatever, and went on to put my shoes. When she saw me at the door, she looked at me confusedly and asked, and I said, "We're taking a bus, right?" Then she replied, "Oh, no, a bath." And I realised my error, laughed, and went to the bathroom. So what are other English accent errors you've heard in Japan? Mm. Emil from Luxembourg. Yeah, basu. Basu, because in Japan there's no TH sound. Bas, bus. It's a confusing one. Yeah. I actually had one happen to me just yesterday. I was in a restaurant, and this guy came over, a lovely waiter, who could speak English. But he said in a heavy accent, he sort of said to me, Do you have a high energy? I was like, do I have high energy? Do you have a high energy? I was like, I didn't know what to say. I just sort of went, yeah, I've got high energy. And he's like, no. Do you have high energy?
Oh.
And I was like, I sort of looked around. I thought I was being pranked or something. I was like, yeah, high energy. Yeah, I'm high energy. And it sort of went on for like 3 minutes, just really awkwardly. I wonder why he kept going on. I think we'd reached the point now where we could establish that I did, in fact, have high energy.
Yeah.
I could tell it was getting serious. And eventually went, no, not high energy. Do you have an allergy?
Oh.
I think he spoke in Japanese. He said, arugi. I was like, oh, allergy. Yeah, I've got no allergies. Don't worry. And that was the end of that. So bloody awkward.
Bless him.
So
having a crack.
If someone comes to you and they ask if you have high energy... in a Japanese restaurant. It probably means allergy. It's probably just allergy.
But I enjoyed that, man.
That's the only thing that's happened to me recently I can think of. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
No, just me trying to ring down at the concierge, trying to ask for iron, clothes, iron. Like, I just can't, just could not, especially with my accent. It's awful. Oy.
Pete in the iron. We've got one from Tom here. What does Tom say?
Tom says, "Ha, dear Chris and so-called Pete." I've been thinking. I've been thinking about
teabag.
Yeah. Stick the teabag.
Last week you were teabag. Now you're so-called Pete.
All over the place. I've been thinking about visiting Japan for a year now. However, I'm terribly shy, so I haven't got anyone to travel with. Do you have any advice, encouragement that could help put my mind at ease about visiting Japan, given that having to travel alone isn't a position I want to be in? All of the advice online is geared towards backpackers and hostel users and is full of the cliches. Don't be shy and just do it, which aren't that for some people. Kind regards, Tom. I went to Japan for the first time by myself and I had a lovely old time. I met up with a person who showed me around a bit, but most of the time I was left to my own devices, so I just went for a wander. You're gonna have a lovely time. You're not gonna have any time to think about your loneliness. Bring a book to a bar if you really want to, you know, look like you're busy. Go bars and don't go to just Tokyo and Osaka, and people will be a little bit more into chatting to you if that's indeed what you want. Because obviously outside the big city, it's more of a novelty to see someone who's not from around here, so to speak. So people are probably more likely to have a chat with you. And let's face it, practice their English a lot of the time.
Well, yeah, and there's quite a lot of meetups as well that go on in Japan. I've never used the website myself, but I've spoken to a lot of people that do, particularly travellers. Meetups, just type in like meetups Tokyo or meetups Kyoto, and there's always something going on. There's always something going down. And people there are very friendly. You can just sort of show up and off you go. So that's an idea. Tinder. Give Tinder a whirl.
Yeah.
Don't know if I should be encouraging Tinder, but again, I know lots of people that have had a nice time just hanging out with people on there. People seem to be quite friendly on Tinder.
Yeah, and it's not...
just looking for a hookup.
Yeah, it's not as intense out there. It just seems to be a little bit more friendship-based. Like my mate brought a Tinder date to like a bar. Like, we were having some beers and a bit of food. And she was, what's her name? I think it was Sakamoto, which is a very Japanese name, obviously. Hazuki Sakamoto. And she was blooming lovely. Like, you know, when you meet someone, you're like, I wish like you'd been around a bit longer this holiday because you were really, really good value. She was just fine. She was just fine. Just hung out for a you're really good value. Really, really good fun. She used to live in Brighton, so I think she just wanted some English people to talk to. But she was really good value.
Bet you wish she'd gone Tinder that day.
I know, right? I've never actually used it. Is it? It just looks harrowing. It just genuinely looks harrowing. It's always like,
you know, I've never used it personally either, but I've encouraged friends to use it, and then they've given me like glowing reviews of people they've hung out with. Like, you know, you do find kind of confident, quirky, fun people on there who just want to practice their English more often than not, and just, you know, meet people. And the people that do use it are kind of quite confident as a result and quite fun. So, you know, I sort of give it a whirl.
Yeah,
I won't. I might do it for a video. Won't. People keep pestering me to do a video about it because I did a video once called "How to Date Japanese Girls," which is kind of a satirical take on dating.
Very popular, though.
My good friend.
Had your cake and ate it though, didn't you, naughty boy?
Yeah.
As in, like you. As great in, you got lines, you got the. You got the irony out, but you also got a lot of people clicking because that's what deviants like. How to hook up with Japanese women. Ooh.
But you know when I'm in it, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be something probably
disgusting.
A bit awkward and satirical. And it's, yeah, but after I did that, I got loads of people saying, wow, you should follow it up with a Tinder in Tokyo video. I should do it. I'm tempted to do it. Maybe if I'm feeling desperate, if the channel keeps going down, it goes down and I don't get many views, that'll be the video that comes up. The day you see Tinder in Tokyo video, you'll know that I've reached rock bottom and I will do literally anything to get those views.
That would be a huge video, to be fair. Like, that would be big. Big.
Wait a minute. Why don't we do it when you're over in a few weeks?
Let's not.
You can do it and I'll film it.
I've got an email from Wing Hin. I'm moving on.
We're not moving on. You're doing it. You go on Tinder Use your best photo of you on a bike or something from journey across Japan, and then I'll get a telescopic lens on a camera.
Sorry,
and actually, it sounds quite dodgy.
Catch me on a long lens. You're going to be arrested by somebody reporting you with one of those apps. There's a chicane filming people from a moving car.
We'll stick a GoPro in your hair and be inconspicuous.
Hasn't he got tall hair? Yes, I have. We got an email from Wing Hin. Hello, Wing Hin. Hi, Chris and Beat. I would like to start off by saying that you two are just absolute legends. Go on, Wing Hin. That's why you're getting read out, mate. I have like 50 questions, but I'll save you the time and just ask you one. This is a question for Chris, but to make it fair, can Pete read it out, please? Yeah. Chris, have you ever been in a situation in Japan where you found yourself, whilst in public, overhearing other locals talk about you because they assume that as you are a foreigner, you can't understand what they are saying? Incognito Chris. Incognito Chris.
Crikey. I don't know, really. I guess, yeah, I've had that happen quite a lot. It's never really rude. It's never that bad. Like, I remember I was at a festival, Sakata Festival, which happens every May, and the whole city comes alive. I mean, Sakata's a beautiful city, but it is like one big graveyard. It's so dead most of the year. And then the festival rolls around, and it's a buzzing, wonderful atmosphere. And I remember walking through it, and every 30 seconds, I would just hear someone go, Gaijin kita. They'd be like, wow, it's a foreigner, oh my god. Like, they'd just be amazed that some foreign guy was there in the middle of nowhere at the festival. So that's the only time I've really heard it happen. And that's the only time they just sort of say, oh, it's a foreigner, wow. And the other time is when you get those annoying schoolgirls who just sort of follow you around the stores and proclaim, and who just pester you. I remember a few weeks ago we talked about it in the podcast how... I'd been bullied by some schoolgirls. I was in a Daiso or a Don Quixote doing some shopping, minding my own business, and a group of three girls, must have been teenage girls, were just following me around this bloody store and just kept speaking English really loudly to try and provoke me. Like, they would walk near me and just be like... They wouldn't even talk to me. They would just shout, do you like apple? And I'd be like, yeah, I like an apple. And then they'd laugh, and then they would just do that again and again with different fruits and... Yeah, that's the only other time it's happened.
Well, you know what, Chris? Don't wear your I love yasai, I love fruit t-shirt, all right? And then you won't be asked that question all the time.
It's going to shut them down.
You do kind of think that sometimes, that people are like, oh, there's a guy over there who's not from here. Let's talk about him. Actually, a friend of a friend was walking around Japan, and he got a lot of, that man has a big nose, big nose chat that he gets.
Really?
Yeah, because he's got a big old conch. It's just enjoyable. Big nose.
They could be, I mean, Japanese people can be pretty blunt sometimes about your facial features. I remember I had a friend who was just a girl, and this other Japanese woman was just like, wow, your head's small. I just kept going on about how small her head was, even though her head was just a normal sized head. I didn't get it. I never got it.
I might need a picture of this woman.
Another one was my ex-girlfriend, Japanese ex-girlfriend, used to always tell me I had a big face. That was fun.
What? Why are they obsessed with faces?
Chris, you're big face.
Too small face, big face. What's going on?
You can't win, can you?
It's back to my heroic forehead again.
There you go. But have you been called big face? Have you been called small face? Let us know.
Hey, big face.
JapanPodcast@gmail.com. Send in your stories and experiences. We're all here waiting to listen in and read them out and exploit your stories. That's it, though. That's it. That's the end of it. It's the end of the podcast. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll be sitting here waiting to do it all over again next week and to prepare for Pete's arrival in Japan. Woohoo.
We'll be recording it with our big faces.
Big face version.
big face mode.
Big face mode.
This show is part of the Radio Stakhanov Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.